Doug.
Lemu, I know you're my partner, and we're supposed to be professional. Like the professional service you get from Liberty Mutual, where you only pay for what you need. But I think I'm falling in love with you. I know it sounds crazy. Oh. Yes. Yeah. Lemu, emu. Fuck me with your weird corkscrew bird dick. Ugh.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Those 7 days have almost passed. There is little that needs to be said. So they will say all of it.
Oh no.
That is
you
like,
hang up on?
You did it again!
Oh no.
Mike! This is becoming a thing with you.
Oh no.
WFOD begins now.
Welcome to this thing we call the Dubfod. My name is Mike. I am joined, of course, by my good friend, Mr. Drunkard STL on the Twitters.
Hey, buddy.
And guys, the king of pranks, the albino alligator, a jaguar impressive, the man o' spice, Mr. Travis Hulse is here, everyone. Mr. Travis Hulse.
Good evening.
The phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. And Travis, we have one hell of a program for the people tonight.
You bet.
Coming up after the break, we are going to talk to Marty James. He's a musician fella. He used to be he is again. That's the story, Travis.
He was a magician fellow. No,
he was in Scapegoat Wax. I think he kind of is Scapegoat Wax. It's kind of a Trent Reznor situation. Okay. Gonna talk to him in a little bit.
Yeah, no matter who he surrounds himself with, he's still Scapegoat Wax.
Kind of like the drummer of Cowboy Mouth. No matter who he surrounds himself with, he is Cowboy Mouth.
It's a deep pull, the Cowboy Mouth. Travis, I want to advocate for the hamsters tonight. It's important to me that we get to that. So I think that we ought to just bring it up right off the bat. If you remember a couple months ago, we were talking about how the Danes, they murdered all the minks.
All their minks.
They killed all of them, the fucking minks. They're gone.
Burned them right up.
And then I think they buried them all in a mass grave. And then, like, when they started to decompose, they all, like, bubbled up.
Right.
And then they had to dig them all up and, like, set them on fire, right? You know what they did, Travis? They set them on fire? So they had to kill them twice, really.
Zombie minks.
Keep in mind, they keep saying, like, the animals aren't giving it to the people. They're not. But now the hamsters, Travis, the hamsters are getting COVID. So you know what that means. We got to kill all the hamsters.
In zero COVID Hong Kong, mm-hmm. It's come to this. Owners surrendering their small pets after a call order from the government over COVID-19 fears. and outrage from animal welfare workers. On Tuesday, authorities said that they will euthanize around 2,000 hamsters, rabbits, chinchillas, and guinea pigs over COVID-19 transmission concerns after a worker and 11 hamsters at the Little Boss Pet Shop tested positive for the coronavirus.
They found 11 hamsters that had COVID, Travis. So they're just like, fuck hamsters.
No, just let's mass murder them.
Don't hamsters only kind of like last 2 years anyway?
Drunk. Don't be pro hamster murder.
No, I'm not being pro hamster.
We need to put up a united front, Travis.
They only last that long if your kid is shitty at taking care of pets.
Yeah. Which most kids are.
Drunk Twinkie.
So how long does a good hamster last?
My hamster, he was like a tannish color and white. That's what we called him, Twinkie. It was a really creative name at the time.
Yeah.
He lasted a pretty long time, Twinkie did.
Did he have like the tubes around your room and shit?
He had tubes. They didn't go around my room. But, you know, he was just one guy and he got to run around a bit. And, you know, we put him in the little ball and let him run around the house. He loved that.
And he fucking kept you awake at 3 o'clock in the morning just running on that wheel.
Yeah, he was a nocturnal fella.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, if the government, Travis, they said, hey, bring Twinkie here so that we can murder him, I feel like I would have, like as a human
being. What would you do, let him free so he could get eaten by a coyote by the river?
I don't think that I would surrender.
Pretend he's already dead.
Yeah, just say, sorry. Twinkie already died. What are they going to do? They're going to come to my house and look?
Put him in the attic?
Oh, yeah.
Banging on your door like the Gestapo. We know you have a hamster in there.
He can write a diary.
You can't have anybody over to the house, Travis.
Who are these people that are so terrified still of COVID that they're advocating for the slaughter of thousands of potential pets?
I've had it twice. I'm just fine.
Well, drunk. Careful, we are on YouTube and we don't want to deliver misinformation.
Okay,
it's important that we tell people COVID's scary and bring your pets so that we can murder them. I guess, right?
You know what's funny is, you know, I live in Wisconsin and it's a big deer hunting state, obviously, and there was some talk that they had found a handful of wild deer that had COVID that they assume. I don't know how I can't recall how they assumed the deer caught the COVID, whether it was like from hunters chew spit in the woods or some shit like that.
Did they catch it in a cage and swab its deer nose, Travis?
It was probably after it got murdered for meat. And I would assume that I don't know why they would have tested it, but there was a handful of cases of deer testing positive for COVID. But I didn't really hear a follow-up, but I don't think they just torched that deer. I think they probably still processed meat and let the hunter take it home and feed it to his family.
Can you get COVID by eating COVID?
I guess I don't know. I guess I haven't deep dive into it enough to where if I was a cannibal or if I was trapped in one of those classic alive situations, if we had to eat old Benny, who obviously had just tested positive for COVID, but we're starving in the Alps, would we catch COVID from his dead body meat?
Well, he's the one that you would kill first, right?
Well, obviously, we don't want him spreading that terrifying disease to everybody.
Yeah, he'll not get close to you if he's dead.
Right. So take him out.
Have you seen the movie?
And then as
alive?
Yeah.
No.
It was a plane crash, so there's already plenty of dead people. You don't got to worry about killing nobody.
Oh. You just find a dead?
Yeah.
And I guess they're preserved okay because it's icy out, right?
Yeah, and you start with the buttocks.
Oh, is that the first thing you eat?
Yeah.
Well, this pilot was really good. We crashed, but every single person lived. We found out there was a couple of positive COVID cases. So one right between the eyes for those couple of COVID cases. And then I guess that's how we experiment on whether or not you get COVID from eating COVID tainted meat.
Travis, I got another clip from the hamster story.
Please play.
Still at this stage in the pandemic with, you know, over several hundred million human cases of COVID, we haven't seen any pet-to-human transmission.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the risk of pets spreading the virus to people is low. Oh. Along with a video of his pet, a Facebook user posts, "I won't hand over my hamster. This government is inhumane."
Didn't they say started by transmission from animal to human with the pangolin or whatever?
No, the pangolin, that was a South Park bit, drunk. I don't think anybody's actually said that somebody got it from a pangolin. I think they said they got it from a bat.
Oh, well, okay, so a bat. Fine, it's still an animal.
Yeah.
And they ate the bat, didn't they, at the wet market, Travis? So you can get COVID from eating COVID.
Well, I guess that's true.
I mean, if that's true, if it didn't come from a lab, right?
Right. Yeah. If it wasn't cooked up in a Wuhan lab, financed by Dr. Fauci himself,
Travis, you're gonna get us kicked off YouTube.
Hey, dude. we're gonna speak our truth, and if Kanye wants to pull all his content off YouTube just because we're spreading our truth. Well, that's up to him. Go listen to Gold Digger on Vimeo.
I was listening to my boss talk the other day. And don't get me wrong, I have plenty of respect for my boss. But he was saying that anybody who got the vaccine will die in 10 years. And that's their way of thinning the population and shit. I'm like,
that's what your boss said?
Yeah. I'm like, what kind of conspiracy nut job?
Isn't it like 90%? 90% of people? Yeah. Starting with Bob Saget? He was the first one to go. We're going to lose everybody else, Travis.
Well, that is the conspiracy theory, is that this was all cooked up by the government and Bill Gates, because Bill Gates said that the easiest way to thin the population or control the population is through inoculation. So Bill Gates created the vaccine to try to thin the herd, to conserve our environment, because climate change is the most important thing we're facing right now. So,
boy, Travis, Bill Gates, I hope that the UN. YouTube crawlers, they know that you're being sarcastic. They can sense sarcasm, right?
The algorithms cannot sense sarcasm. So
I got another one for you, sarcastic. So when you go to school, school sucks, right? I mean, like, school isn't like fun.
You only think school's great with the rose colored glasses of time, right? When you look back on it and be like, man, these kids have it great. No, school's bullshit.
Yeah, I think my glasses are clear, Travis, because I remember school and I remember not liking it too much. And like, you know, it was. Well, Travis, school is harder now because what they're doing is they're bringing...
He's teaching critical race theory?
Oh, no, Travis. Travis, you're going to get us kicked off YouTube, Travis. YouTube is not going to stand for this, Travis. I'm telling you, you're...
This is bullshit. Trying to indoctrinate our kids with this propaganda. Of course, it's harder now.
What we're doing now, Travis, is we're bringing dogs to school.
Police cruisers pulled up to Norton Middle School Wednesday morning for the Bristol County Sheriff's Office. Inside were a pair of COVID-sniffing canines.
They can detect COVID, whether it's the Delta variant, whether it's the new Omicron variant.
No, they can't.
They can't. What they did is they trained these dogs on avocado trees because they can smell sickness. And so the dogs, they just go, and if somebody's got COVID, they sit down next to them. And that means you got COVID and the dog knows.
So they can't track COVID. They track sickness. So if you just had a head cold or a sinus infection, they just say you had COVID.
The dog, Travis, it can smell the Omicron.
The Delta, the stealth Omicron that just came out. They can also detect that.
As Duke led the way through the middle school's auditorium and guidance counselor's office. Whenever he'd hit on the scent, he'd sit and did so alongside a few seats and right next to a printer.
He grabbed into the printer, and so we looked at the logs and found anybody who printed anything, and we sent them all home.
Turns out the printer had a virus that got from the internet.
So you got to worry about bullying now, Travis. You got to worry about whether your school lunch is nutritious. You got to worry about fucking Duke showing up and sitting down next to you and making everybody think that you're a sick.
Yeah, making it being ostracized by a canine unit.
Travis, did I tell you that I took our podcast off of Spotify?
Good for you.
I took it off.
It wasn't by choice, though, right?
No. Spotify kicked us off. And so what I did in turn is I took us off.
How can Joe Rogan still be up there and WFOD show gets bounced?
Joe Rogan.
They pay him multi-millions of dollars.
Yeah, he just talks, Travis. And like we played music we weren't supposed to. So like we broke the rules. But we took a stand, Travis, and we said no more Spotify for us because you kicked us off.
That's right. Cancel Spotify.
So did you read up on this Miami Dolphins? Because I thought it was weird because they started off the season 1-7, right?
Yes.
And then they went on a mad tear.
And then they won 8 in a row.
And finished 9-8.
And then they lost their 2 games.
And then he got fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had 2 winning seasons and got fired immediately after.
Yeah. He was there for 2 years. Went to the playoffs his first year, went 9-7 his second year.
So he's suing, I think, the Giants, the NFL, and the Dolphins.
And the Broncos.
And the Broncos? What did the Broncos do?
Apparently in 2019, they had an interview, and John Elway and the owner apparently showed up like an hour late to the interview. Obviously not really paying attention to his interview, going through the motions for the Rooney rule, which is the rule that you have to interview so many minority coaches.
So you're like, hey, buddy, you know, we just don't want to get fined.
Yeah, you're a black guy. You want to come out?
Which every NFL team has their token black guy they can interview. I don't know why they chose him.
Maybe they could just have a black guy whose job was to show up and get interviewed.
I mean, somebody interviewed Hines Ward this year. You know why? To fulfill the Rooney rule.
Yeah, just have one particular black guy that all of the NFL owners compensate to just publicly interview for all of the open head coach jobs.
For a while it was Leslie Frazier before he got his first head coaching gig.
So in this lawsuit, I believe what the guy said is that the Dolphins owner was paying him $100,000 per loss.
Yeah, he said that the Dolphins owner told him they would pay him $100,000 per loss that season. I think it was last season, to essentially tank the season and move up and build draft capital. And he pretty much said, fuck you, I don't do that. Let's win some football games. Yeah. And they, in turn, did not like him.
He was the reason that all the Deshaun Watson talk to Miami happened. So he was not a fan of Tua, which was their quote-unquote reason for getting rid of him.
There was plenty of information after he got fired about all of the issues that were going on behind the scenes, how him and Tua did not get along, how he did not believe in Tua, and all of that. But now,
Tua
we're opening
being
up another can of worms.
The Dolphins quarterback.
Correct.
The Dolphins second-year quarterback, Tagovailoa. But yeah, so there's more Dolphins behind the scenes stuff in this lawsuit. But what the lawsuit really is, and this is the best part, Brian Flores was supposed to interview with the New York Giants on a Wednesday. He gets a text from Bill Belichick on a Monday that says, hey, congratulations. Seems like you're moving up. And then Brian Flores texts it back like, what? Have you heard something I didn't? And he said, the Giants job. And he's like, oh, I don't interview for that until Wednesday, but I'd really love that job. And he said, well, it sounds like you got it, blah, blah, blah.
Because your name is Brian.
So Flores realized that he probably meant to send that to the Bills offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, and fucked up. So he texted Bill Belichick like, do you think you're texting me, Brian, or that Brian? And Bill Belichick said, oh, shit, I really fucked this up. sorry about that. Sounds like it's going to double. best of luck,
right.
BB, Bill Belichick. So that pretty much puts the nail in the coffin on that. The Giants had their guy, but we're still going through a sham interview with Flores to appease the Rooney Rule. So that is the lawsuit.
Freeman fucked the Rams.
But I guess what I was thinking, Travis, is if there was some way to prove that, I mean, like, of course, a lot of us think sometimes that a team is tanking on purpose. But like, if there was definitive proof that a team was paying a coach $100,000 on purpose to lose, like, there's more lawsuits, right? I mean, somebody can sue somebody for something, I assume. If like,
oh, there has to be, because can you imagine if the players union found out all of these guys going out there and doing their jobs and getting paid the money that they get paid to find out that their coach was getting paid to throw the fight?
I mean, like, I could argue season ticket holders have a grudge. I could argue anyone who can prove that they placed a bet on the Miami Dolphins who like was in a game that was thrown on purpose. I mean, like, I don't know what the rules are on betting, but there has to be something in it that if you find out the whole thing's a fucking sham, you can sue somebody, right?
Right. I feel like pretty much everything in this lawsuit with all the surrounding, it all comes down to the Miami Dolphins ownership, right? Like, nothing happened without the Miami Dolphins ownership putting it in motion. So, I was going to say I'd be surprised if this dipshit, if there was proof, if he'd be able to still be in the league.
Right.
But we all know how that works, because I feel like today is the only thing we're going to hear about this lawsuit, and then it's going to disappear forever, just like John Gruden's lawsuit against the NFL that was news for one day and disappeared.
In the chat, they're asking if I'm still a Rams fan. I was never really like a Rams fan.
Oh, I was diehard.
Not anymore.
Fuck those guys. Fuck them and their stupid asses.
I'm curious to see what comes of it, Travis. Probably nothing. I'm sure they'll squirm out of it. But yeah,
there's too much money involved. They're so willing to pay people off and throw money at this to shut everybody up. But I like I said, I'd be very surprised if we heard another peep about this thing beyond today.
Supposed to get the Houston job, so.
Well, yeah. If he gets a job, then maybe he'll just drop the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if anybody'd hire him after this, at least this year.
Oh, you think that he'll be blacklisted?
Oh. Yeah, it's a pretty small.
I didn't mean it that way, drunk.
It's a good old boys club, right? Like, there's only 32 teams. Like, all these owners and shit know each other. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'd be surprised if somebody was just going to be like, oh, yeah, let's hire this guy who threw the owner of the team under the bus.
Look how fast Kaepernick got blackballed. That was nothing.
Guys, think what we should do.
Tell me what we should do. Tell me, Mike.
I think what we should do is we should take like a real quick break.
All right.
We should regroup.
You're the boss.
And when we come back, we're going to talk to Marty James. He has new Scapegoat Wax music. Travis, you remember that? Hello, Allison! You remember that song?
No.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course.
Are you just saying that, or do you really remember it?
Yep, I'm just saying it.
Oh, okay.
You didn't have to point that out.
Spotify has spoken, and it has chosen Joe Rogan over Neil Young. The rock legend gave the streaming service an ultimatum demanding that his music be removed from the platform if Rogan's podcast remains on it, because he says Rogan's podcast is, quote, spreading fake information about vaccines.
No need to whine, it's all fine. All Neil Young shit is on Amazon Prime. Not Amazon Music, nobody uses that. It's all just on regular Amazon Prime.
Dubfod goes hard. Hey, what's good? I'm Marty James, affectionately known to some as Skate Car Wax. I'm from Northern California.
Way up there.
Northern California, the 530-916 Northern California. Chico by way of Dixon.
You know
it was a
is?
Dope place to grow up. It was more rice fields and almond orchards.
Beer.
And pastures more than beaches and palm trees.
In high school, I started making my own mixtapes and demos and sending them out to anybody who would listen.
I work hard.
I sent it already. Via fax. What? Leave me alone. I'm working.
Is now a good time for a flare-up?
I hope your family burns in a house fire, Crohn's.
For adults with moderate to severe Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, Stelara can provide relief and is the only approved medication to reduce inflammation on and below the surface of the intestine in UC.
You getting on that flight?
Fuck you, Crohn's.
Stelara may increase your risk of infection, some serious, and cancer. Before treatment, get tested for TB. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, sores, new skin growths, have had cancer, or if you need a vaccine. RPLS, a rare potentially fatal brain condition, may be possible. Some serious allergic reactions and lung inflammation can occur.
Lasting remission can start with Stelara.
Suck my fucking dick, Crohn's!
God is dead and the snow is falling. Temperatures remain in the teens, and we remain condemned to exist on this frozen hell. Be sure to give a little extra time to arrive at your destinations as inclement weather is expected. And extended periods of time alone in your car will give your mind plenty of time to contemplate the big lie. Now back to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
Our guest tonight is a Grammy-nominated songwriter and performer who recently resurrected his project Scapegoat Rap Wax after 20 years. For more information, check out MightyOakMusic.mighty. Oh, Jesus Christ. Travis, I wrote the damn thing.
Oh, you botched that up.
It's a mouthful.
It's MightyOakMusicCo.com. Guys, Marty James is on the program. Marty,
yes, sir.
You're a good looking bastard.
Man, thank you. You know, I got a Peloton right here. It's been keeping me sane and I'm gonna hang on to all my youth, so I'm releasing new music.
I bought a Scapegoat Wax CD the day it was released, drunk. I remember doing it, but it was a long time ago as a young man.
Oh man.
But and then
a long time ago. It was literally 20 years ago. That's not an exaggeration.
You disappeared.
Summer of 2001.
Sounds about right.
It was when Okie first came out that summer, 2001.
See, what I used to do, Marty, is I used to go to Target every Tuesday, and I just buy every damn CD they had every Tuesday. That investment, it's not going to pay off for me. I don't think it was probably. Not a good thing to spend my pizza.
Mike, listen, it's all coming back. Vinyl's a thing. Cassettes are now starting to be a thing. CDs will make their way back around, and we will all retire and to our own private islands
with our DVDs
I think
and our CDs.
They'll have a resurrection. That's the great era, though, for music heads. I mean, I definitely miss a lot of the stuff about the back in the day, but you know, you got to adapt. And that was one reason I wanted to start my own label, is just to kind of stay sharp on how music is even like, you know, getting into people's ears nowadays is through different apps. And I think I've always wanted to just stay like not feeling like I'm stuck in my old ways or whatever. So I wanted to learn. That's kind of why I started my own label, you know.
Marty, but doesn't it hurt to know that there's an entire generation of people that will never experience pressing play on an album and letting it play all the way through, right? Like, of course, you always have your favorites.
It really is, man. Because I like skits and stuff too, you know? Like, when you would listen to old Wu-Tang albums, or, I mean, so many albums that would just kind of flow together. And I definitely miss that. You know, my buddy's like, we got to put this skit on the album. And I'm like, it's like hard to, you know, it's hard to get people to listen all the way to one song, let alone through your whole body of work. But, you know, I do think you're right. Like, vinyl, I think, is going to find a long-term place, and maybe some people will make like vinyl versions where things run together, and that might even make them more special as well. But yeah, right now you're just going for that. Grab them with the one song, and they're basically on a big old shuffle play. A lot of people listen like that. So, yeah, it's crazy. There's a lot of stuff about that era I miss. I loved record stores. Even as an artist, it was kind of fun to go to the distributors. You know, you'd go where they were like manufacturing up the CDs and shake hands and meet the people. I mean, there was stuff like that. And it was a physical thing you had. But now there's a lot that's changed. That's for the good. I'm able to take my studio and a little backpack now and set up anywhere and record anywhere and feel like I'm really liberated. You know, it's not so expensive to record anymore. I mean, there's definitely some benefits of the new age, but man, yeah, I definitely miss the old school. You know, I used to go to vinyl shops in Chico, and I would just pick through records, and that's how I made all my first albums, was just on picking samples, you know, from record store records. There was no Splice or anything where you just go download chords. It was like you'd have to go dig in the crates, find some snares, some breaks, and I still got a lot of those discs. Actually, my new record, Evaporate, the B-side of Reckless, the whole beat was done just on the SP-1200, just off some of my old sounds. I just wanted to just go straight back to the original source for the first song, kind of. So, yeah, I love that era, man. We could talk all night about that. That's a whole different
So you combo. Didn't really go away. You just kind of diversified and started doing other things, right?
You know, I put all my eggs into Scapegoat. That was like the greatest era of my life, just kind of really finding my way. I had a mentor who took me under his wing, Johnny Z from this group In Too Deep, and he brought me down to the Bay Area from Chico, which was kind of out in the boons a little bit, and kind of got me, you know, locked into the studio life, sort of what they were using at that time. And then when it kind of fizzled out, I guess, for all intents and purposes, I mean, we moved labels from Grand Royal to Hollywood Records. It wasn't the best fit for us, but I kind of went back to the beginning. I started another group actually called One Block Radius, and we actually had we kind of went a little more hip hop. We were opening for like Farside and De La Soul and Living Legends and stuff. And we actually made a couple of records that kind of went a similar direction as Scapegoat, honestly, where we had Scapegoat was a little more alternative, but we had a song that was kind of did cool. But I mean, my whole sound is, you know, I had added a rapper in One Block Radius. I wanted to like not really rap as much anymore as I was producing. I want to focus on melodies and lyrics and the beats and stuff. That was kind of my line of thinking with that group, and just kind of restarting over. Everything had gotten pretty major label-ish feeling on with Scapegoat, and that wasn't really the direction at the time that I was really feeling. And so I really wanted to go back to the van and everything. So we did that group and got pretty far along. But from that point, I kind of started writing songs with other people and for other people. I started getting brought in by producers in LA who were having me like help people with their melodies and lyrics and top line. So I actually became, you know, a songwriter for, you know, all intents and purposes. And I was still doing some of my stuff. I actually featured on a couple Snoop Dogg songs, Baby Bash, some rapper stuff. But I really started to move into the studio. I really love creating in the studio. It never gets old to me. I feel like you can just make something new all the time. It's just an exciting process. Some days, it can just go this way, it's that way. It's just a, you know, you can just create anything. So it's fun for me to kind of, you know, jump around different projects. So I did that, and that started working out for me. I started to get a lot of sessions. I started working with artists, and I also was doing stuff like some commercial work, some voiceover work. You know, I kind of learned after Scapegoat that I was going to have a lot more, you know, stokes on the fire. Thanks. You know, I noticed with music, it's like, for a person like me who does a lot of different stuff, it's kind of hard to just only focus on, you know, here's my artist stuff, because you got to kind of, you know, be versatile and, you know, it's hard to make money as an artist, as a music artist. So you find all these other relationships where you're like, okay, I could do voiceover work here, which is pretty fun. Actually, I get to intend humor. I don't know. I just kind of basically started to just work on what felt good and felt right. And it kind of just led me all the way back to making my own stuff and doing scapegoating.
Do you prefer the behind the scenes stuff for performing, or is it all kind of just one big thing for you?
It's kind of interesting because they sort of feed off of each other. Like, I feel that my passion project with Mighty Oak and Scapegoat really gives me a lot of creative vibe to like want to go to Miami and work and write songs for other people that maybe I help write, records with other artists. And I have a lot of say. I mean, I can write what I want, but really at the end of the day, it becomes their record. And, you know, maybe there's a producer involved and I have like, you know, my input, but it's not always exactly how I would do it, you know, or if it is, it's like, you know, when I'm doing my artist stuff, it's kind of, it's just all me, you know, I'm able to kind of just express myself all the way freely. So it really gives me a lot of confidence and creativity to take into sessions instead of just when you're writing songs every day, you have to write so many songs to get a placement. You know, it's really songwriting professionally like that is a numbers game in a lot of ways. You're like cranking stuff out. You're like looking for this opportunity. This artist is looking for songs. So you just have to like write a lot of stuff. And in that process, it just, you're writing every day, you know, and you might even start sounding the same at times. And so it's kind of cool for me to just go do scapegoat stuff because it kind of gets my mind in a totally different creative space. So they kind of play off of each other. You know, right now I'm really liking to, I think kind of with quarantine and everything, I really got into the space of producing again. And I was excited about doing that, you know, because a lot of the stuff I had been doing since like 2012 till maybe 2020 is mostly top lining, which is like melody and lyric for other people, you know. Mm-hmm. But I do like making beats, and I do love the gritty breakbeat sound and putting live instrument to that. And when I started working on some of my own songs again, I kept telling everybody these were like real scapegoatish, you know. People kept saying that to me, and I'm just like, you know, that's what this is. Let me just get back to what I really started off wanting to do. And just that, I love the creative palette that I have with Scapegoat because I could just kind of do whatever. And it's not, I can kind of just float under the radar and just kind of blend styles and genres and just take risks. And it's important, I think, for any artist right now to have some creative channel, because it's really hard to, I mean, A, you just should, with the amount of technology we have. If you're an expressive person, I think we all need that sort of, you know, that release. I think it does a lot of good for people's, you know, confidence and everything like that. But, you know, also just as a working musician, I think it's important to be able to have your own green light. You're just like, you know what? I like this song. I want to press play. We don't have to go through the gatekeepers per se now to go find an audience. We used to have to like ask a lot more permission. And I think people should utilize that. I know Spotify is getting like so many songs, you know, per day now from people and everything. And obviously in some ways that kind of, you know, dilutes the market or it's harder to break through. But in other ways, it gives a lot of people a chance that maybe never would have had a chance. And I think, you know, it's going to kind of always, I think it's cool right now. People really are into the voice. You can hear like the sounds of artist voice and good singers and cool, qualities in their tones and stuff like that. And people want a big variety now.
I see people complain that the voice in a song is like pushed too far to the front in modern recording.
You know, I mean, definitely vocals are loud in mixes right now. It's definitely a prominent thing. I think that a lot of the big mixes are right out front, and it's true. You know, there's a lot of older songs that have the vocals back a little bit. Which one was I listening to? Phil Collins stuff I was listening to recently. I was like, man, these vocals are kind of low. I could kind of see somebody's gripe that, man, vocals, it's just all about the sort of like up front present, you know, in your face vocal. And some songs, I mean, when you sing like Adele or something like that, it's kind of like, you know, you're going to obviously feature her vocal.
Well, Marty, I don't actually know what the hell they're talking about. I just hang out with people, you know, who talk about stuff like that so that they think I'm cool.
Yeah. So you guys have musicians on a lot, and you guys have all kinds of different people from all walks of life on, or sure. What's the main kind of topics that you guys cover?
What do you want to talk about?
I just thought it's kind of, it seems like a pretty cool show. I see, like, you guys have, like, gamers and stuff on, or are you guys mostly focused on just music artists?
No, we're pretty much wide open, right? So we speak to comedians, we speak to musicians. Mike, what is the fart? We speak authors, to pet whisperers.
We talked to Joe Exotic twice.
Out in front of my house filming an episode the other day. No. he shoots in my house. I live in Orange County, and he goes out to this park and shoots a show sometimes.
Oh, nice. We actually spoke to the lady that we spoke to is actually a pet psychic, so she can actually tell you what your pet is thinking.
Let me guess. They want snacks.
I think that the insight that she gave me is that one of my dogs wanted me to know that she loved me more than my other dog does.
Oh, wow. Actually, that's kind of
that.
I mean, that kind of puts a little cross to bear on you all the time, right?
I guess.
I mean,
yeah. Like, yeah.
You got a favor.
I mean, that was the number one thing that she wanted me to know, which I mean, I appreciate, I guess. I don't know why she's making a competition out of it, but. You know,
you gotta look at your dogs a little different.
You're real north in California. Are you up where all the almonds are?
Yeah. That's where I'm from. That's where my family still lives. And now I live in SoCal, and I go back up there kind of back and forth. I mean, there's just a lot of opportunities here. So I kind of need to be somewhat close to LA. And,
right.
But when it comes down to brass tacks, which one do you like better, Northern Cal or Southern Cal?
Like for living wise?
Yeah.
I mean, if I just want to like cool pace of life, NorCal is way more like, you know, but there's a time like right now I want a little more of a slower pace life. 10, 15 years ago, I could never have seen myself, you know, living in Orange County where I'm chilling right now. You know, LA, you know, right now it's a little too crazy for me. So I'm going to have to say overall NorCal. I mean, SoCal is cool because like where I'm at now, we're like 15 minutes from the beach. You're not really going to get that in Chico. We got lakes though. You know, yeah, we got fun downtowns. It's more of a college town vibe up there. I mean, everybody that goes there has the time of their life and gets drunk as hell. Beer start at 25 cents and go up every 15 minutes, that kind of stuff.
Oh, like power hours.
Yeah, where you could take out. I mean, obviously with inflation, prices have gone up, so I don't want to put any bars on the spot, but I remember Riley's had like those power hours. You could take like $15 out for the whole night and you and your homies could get drunk.
Travis, Marty's music video for the song that we just played a minute, it's called Reckless. It's great, by the way.
Yeah.
Your face superimposed into movie clips.
And yeah, classic like 80s and 90s movies.
I guess my question is, can you do that?
We just did it. You know, we actually did a little bit of footwork on it. And if you look up YouTube and we kind of looked under like the fair use laws, we found all these videos, all these guys being like, yeah, you can do it. Look. And they're just posting up videos of, for all intents and purposes, like same movie that we did. You know, I mean, it's like same kind of movies that we were putting up. We're like, okay. So I think there were some rules, but we're not monetizing the video. I think that was one obvious thing.
That's the huge one, right? If you don't monetize it.
I was kind of like, duh, I'm not even going to try that. I just figured, you know, we'll roll the dice. My buddy Nick Nicotero came up with that idea. He's like, the song has this nostalgia to it. It would be fun. And he has a green screen in his house, and he's a super dope director. He shoots stuff for all kinds of people, and he's an actor. And he's like, let's try this thing where – I'll put a bunch of clips together and then we'll put your face on it and you kind of play to it. And we just shot it he did so much work on it, man. Like that guy, he really went all in for me. And I appreciate that. I shot it over like just a green screen over one evening. And then we kind of just went back and forth on it. And yeah, it's really funny. I mean, the funny part that makes it cool is a lyric video too, because the subtitles at the bottom. I mean, I thought that's what kind of gave it a little extra oomph, is making it kind of a lyric video with subtitles, and it's being well received. And I feel like, you know, the song, people are liking the song, and I'm dropping more music. I got two songs out now, and I'm gonna do two in February, two in March, and the rest of the record in April. And man, I'm having a blast, because back in the scapegoat days, I was kind of, I don't want to say I was shy, but I was really green. You know, I went straight from like my bedroom to like doing a few shows, but then we got signed to the Beastie Boys and stuff. And over the past like 20 years, you know, obviously I've gotten more comfortable with even just like who I am, what I want to say, And I think that now with sort of being able to put myself out there a little more on social media, I even have more of a outlet and a voice. And I remember Grant Rowe asking me, like, with Okibo, like, what do you want to do on the cover? And I was just like, I don't know. What should I do? You know, I didn't really have – it was like, I just want to make music. I don't care about marketing and right. stuff, or I don't care about anything, any kind of – I don't care about pictures, or I didn't care. And there's definitely parts of those records that I hear that I think, like, man, I really kind of miss being that raw and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. and not just kind of not even knowing what voice I was singing. And now I'm like try to, you know, obviously be more technical with things. But overall, you know, I definitely feel that now I'm even in a more, you know, just personally kind of grounded place to really embrace being an artist. And also I'm starting a label and I'm developing talent. I'm trying to sign talent. I've been doing that for a while now. I've helped some artists get record deals. I've helped some artists get publishing deals. And yeah, man, I have my hands in a lot of different stuff, you know, but I'm so passionate about the Scapegoat Records, and it really kind of drives my overall sound in general, you know.
Well, it's got to probably open up like a feeling of freedom, right? Like as an artist, when you have all of those other things going on and you're not dependent solely on just making music. You can just kind of do what you want to do and you know, let it fall where it may.
Yeah, I'm not really even stressing, and it's kind of nice not even having some big overseer label. I mean, I have help with marketing, I have help with my store and everything, but like it's kind of nice to not feel like, oh, you know, we took this advance and we gotta, you know, go answer the call to this guy who's gonna. It's just like I kind of like that there, you know. We've always had that going on with Scapegoat, and something that was very kind of bedroomy and pure, you know, music's opened up completely differently. So also it's just, I just enjoy the process. I mean, the creating, the drum starting up, the live bass, the editing, like I still get inspired by that. And I always dreamt about kind of having like a little bit of like what I have now. I mean, obviously it could always, I used to think about, I was going to have a studio full of two-track reel to reels, 2-inch tape, you know, and that was a totally different time with the keyboards lining everywhere. But what I mean is, you know, my own kind of studio, my own way of, you know, creating stuff, expressing myself, good relationships in the music business, and, you know, just having fun. I get to just kind of dive in and work with really cool people. I travel all over the place. I've been all through Europe and different parts of Asia, Canada and Mexico and everything, working on music with artists from all around the world. And I'm just really grateful that I just didn't quit after the first time Scapegoat kind of didn't work out. You know, I think there was kind of a moment where I was like, all right, what am I going to do? Am I going to become another E-True Hollywood statistic and just, hey, he almost did it, but he ended up back in Chico working with his dad, you know? It's like,
or once in a while you break out the nostalgia act and take it to the county fair.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still do that, actually.
County fair would probably be great.
You do county fairs yet?
Yeah, we did some county fairs back in the day. We haven't done any.
Well, back in the day, of course.
Oh, yeah, we did Solano County Fair. That was an awesome show, actually. But, you know, I definitely, through that Scapegoat time, I think I probably could have just kept it going there. But I was like in a different place creatively. I could have probably done, like you said, just kept going for it with that, you know. But I don't know, it just, my heart was somewhere else for a while. Yeah, but nothing I've done, even working with other people and everything, is just doesn't kind of quench your soul like making your own stuff, you know. And
do you think that the people that you collaborate with are going to be worried that you're saving all your good ideas now?
No, because, you know, I go out and I work with those people sort of directly. And a lot of them, you know, I'll play stuff. We share ideas. The stuff I write for myself is very unique. And I don't even know that it would even work for a lot of people, to be honest. Like sometimes I do stuff for myself and I'm like, even if I was going to pitch this, like who would I pitch this to? You know, like,
right.
I think it's just kind of so left of center sometimes and sort of in between the cracks. And that's been one thing probably why that more people don't know who Scapegoat Wax is because of, I got one song where I'm singing in falsetto, then I'm like way down here, then I'm rapping over here, then I'm singing a ballad. So I was always just about song to song. And I think that's even why as a writer I've had, you know, some of my bigger successes, because my stuff has always sort of been like that and all over the place. So I don't know. I definitely, I'm more choosy about who I work with now, just because you kind of realize when you jump into that rat race as a songwriter, man, you can just really burn yourself out. I mean, you're trying to do two sessions a day. You're trying to meet everybody you can because you just never know who you're going to partner up with and go on a good run. So it's like you really put yourself out there in the songwriter community, and it can burn you out because like you'll do like two sessions a day for like 3 months and you're just like, oh man, all these songs sound the same and stuff. So I've kind of started to like, okay, I know what artists that I have, like I work with a lot. I'll stay working with them. I'll find producers that make sense to work with. So I really try to conserve like my songwriting energy for good projects now. And that's one good thing about having a little more freedom with some successful records is you can kind of pick and choose stuff that like has more potential instead of just having to do everything, you know. But the artist stuff is always, I mean, it just hits your soul in a different way, you know. It just, obviously you guys can't imagine. I don't know. Do you guys do music at all? Any of you guys?
Nope.
No.
Not that nope. talented.
It's good. Now's a good time to just dabble around. Just start doing it. You know what I mean?
Should I pick up a guitar and try to figure it out?
I would maybe start on the keyboard just because it's a little easier on your fingers. And then once you learn that, you'll probably be able to apply it to guitar if you want to move it over to guitar. But just to kind of learn the scales and stuff and –
Well, Mike is great at parody songs, so he could. I would assume that he could probably make a full right over.
You should do like a comedy album. I think there's always going to be a good lane for a funny song or funny record.
Marty, when you perform live, what do you do with your wallet? Do you leave your wallet on you? Do you put it in the car?
I keep it on me.
It's on.
Yeah, I keep it on.
It's in your back pocket.
Yeah, my keys. I don't. Obviously, my keys. They have to stay back in the. My bag. I normally have like my lyric bag or something with me that has like one of my laptops and just a bunch of my shit. Earplugs.
Marty might be one of the only people that we've asked that question to that actually keeps it on him.
Yeah.
I think I just keep it. Yeah. I mean,
we get a lot of people saying that they leave it on the speakers on stage. A lot of people in the green room, but very few keep it in their pocket.
You're a unicorn in that way.
I mean, a few times I took it out, but I don't know. I'm pretty sure I keep it on me because I hate losing my wallet, man. You can't mess around with something like
that. It's not really about the money. It's about that ID. You don't want to stand in the damn line.
Yeah. The worst.
So potential thieves who are trying to rob musicians, don't go to a Scapegoat Wax show because Marty's got that shit right on him.
I got in my front pocket too.
Oh, your front pocket.
I'm a front pocket guy too.
You know, you keep your wallet in your front pocket, Drunk?
Either that or if I'm wearing a shirt pocket, I'll put it in my shirt pocket.
Really? Wow. Mm.
I move it to my front pocket, like if I'm in an area where I'm like, this is kind of a sketchy area.
Oh. You know,
even if I'm traveling, if I'm abroad, and I don't even know where I'm at.
So when he comes to our neck of the woods, he moves it to the front pocket.
You know, when I go to a concert, like as a spectator, I am constantly checking my back pocket to make sure that nobody pickpocketed me.
So put it in your front pocket, and you won't need to constantly reach and touch your back pocket.
Charles, I feel like I should be in the moment.
Are you still as aware, or do you kind of go like,
what?
You kind of stop doing that after you kind of loosen up and have
The whole time I'm making sure that my wallet's still in my pocket.
That's actually good, though.
Marty, no, it's not good.
And it's not nothing nice.
Listen, it's not good. Most people loosen up after a few drinks. Mike just gets more neurotic. Like, it doesn't help him calm himself down. He just always amped up.
Marty, I got one of those Apple watches, and I was doing it for a while. I was keeping it on when I went to bed to see how my sleep was going. And my sleep wasn't going good. And when I checked my sleep schedule and I saw that I didn't sleep well, I think it made me feel worse because I knew that I slept bad. So I stopped wearing it at night because I figured maybe if I didn't know that I slept bad.
It's not helping now. It's actually making it worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't want to know if I'm sleeping bad.
Yeah, because that's just a good insight into Mike's brain right there. That's why I say two drinks, three drinks. It's not going to help Mike stop looking for his wallet.
Okay, so your mind kind of just like races all the time. You don't sleep. You currently don't sleep very good?
No, I've never slept good. That's why I got this watch so that I could see what was going on.
Right.
And
does everything wake you up?
No.
Like, are you a light sleeper, any sound? Because one thing I do, I sleep with those foamy earplugs. You crumble them up real and then put them in your ear.
Oh, really?
And I sleep them every night. And it helps. Actually, I definitely, my sleep improved just by plugging my ears.
But Marty, you're an artist. You can get up whenever you want, can't you? Like,
yeah,
I just gotta get up at 6 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, go to work.
That's too early. Yeah. No, I like waking up at like nowadays. I like waking up no later than like 8. I mean, 7 is good. I like trying to be on top of things in the daytime. I used to be an all nighter. I would stay up all night, 4, 5, 3, even eating bad, doing, you know, really mostly just studio work. But it kind of catches up with you after a while, especially in my situation where I'm responsible now for other people's records. It's not just my records that I'm kind of helping lead the charge on. That changed a lot when I went from just doing my stuff to, you know, kind of having to be the first one at the studio, coordinating sessions, bringing producers in. I do a lot of that work with some of the artists I work with. I help, you know, pick who's going to work. And so kind of being the first one there, the last one there. So I kind of had to change my schedule around. But I love a good sleep, man. I got to have like at least 7 hours, 6, 7 hours, or I kind of just feel burnt out all day.
I've told a lot of people this, and I'll tell you, Marty, if you want something to listen to when you go to sleep, Jeff Bridges did a Squarespace commercial for the Super Bowl like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he put out a whole album of sleep music, and it's online. I've seen it like that. You could buy a physical copy, but they're hard to find. But it's like on YouTube and stuff. But Jeff Bridges does a sleep tapes album that you could just fall asleep.
Love Jeff Bridges.
Listening to Jeff Bridges talk about going to sleep, it's great.
And it's just kind of like calming and relaxing.
Yeah, yeah. It's just Jeff Bridges like saying, "Hey, man, you should go to sleep."
I like fanboy too, box fan sound. I'm a fan of box fan.
Yeah.
That was one of my top played records on Spotify last year, box fan sounds. Like, yeah, I'm cutting edge artist.
Waterfalls and birds.
My number one song, box fan sound.
Box fan.
That melatonin is good. The ones you put under your tongue, the sublingual ones. I take those when I travel abroad because the jet lag is horrible. Two of those will have you resting too. I got some tips for you. I'll email you.
Give valerian root a shot too. Concentrated like valerian root's pretty good.
Yeah. Also, just a whole big handful of Norcos or something. No, just kidding.
Like a fifth of whiskey.
Yeah, that works.
Just have somebody hit you in the head with a shovel. Guys, a new Scapegoat Wax. I guess 2 songs are coming out each month, and then the whole thing's dropping in March.
Yeah. I got an album, Atomic Slam. Atomic Slam is my dog, Boots. He passed earlier last year, and as he got older, he couldn't jump on the bed. And so I would pick him up and do, like, Atomic Slam. And then I would tickle him and stuff. And so as I started working on songs, as he's getting older, as they started coming together, I thought that was kind of a cool little tribute and a fun way of just, you know, exciting, you know. And so I got Atomic Slam, the trilogy. So we're going to go on part 2. And it's a couple of songs each. And it's been really fun. It's like a 10 song album, and I'm doing some more songs. You know, my songs also lend themselves well for like sync and film and TV and stuff like that. Scapegoat always did. It has songs on Malcolm in the Middle, Jet Set Radio Future, was a big one for Aisle 10. We had the song as the Animal, the Rob Schneider movie, 40 Days, 40 Nights with Josh Hartnett. And so my music's always lent itself well to that too. So Kick Your Feet Up, one of the next songs, is on a Pure Gym ad. And so that's also a way for, I think, artists in the modern age, and for me personally, because streaming pays crumbs. There's also a strategy involved of like, yo, I want to create a body of masters that I own, because I'm sure you guys hear it all the time from music artists and writers about how bad the streaming payout is. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You own the master, the streaming payout is acceptable. You know, I mean, it's That's what the record companies are collecting on these big records.
So the streaming payout isn't that bad, but like what your cut of that is not great.
Yeah, when you are the writer of the song and you don't actually own the master recording or any part of that, you don't get paid on the master side and you're just cut in as a writer and publisher, it can still be very lucrative, especially if you're getting radio play. Big writers, Babyface, Pharrell, you know, and these guys have so many hits just killing the airwaves. I mean, the money's just racking up. On streaming, you can't really say the same thing. On the master side, it racks up. But on the payout, it's they're using a consent decree, I think, that's stamped from like 1915 or 19. It's like so old. That's what they're using as the reference for streaming, which is like right. Such a modern thing.
Of course, there's no incentive for them to change it because then they get
the key. Of course not. And it's a big machine that's fighting it. The tricky part is that, you know, buck comes in, 30 cents goes to Spotify, 70 cents goes to the label, and the label pays out to the writers. So the writers are in a bad spot, not only because of the streaming service, but also because it kind of like messes with your relationship with labels. You got writers calling out labels now, and it's like, you know, it kind of just becomes this like blame game. And it's just what it is. I mean, it's just where we're at. And I feel lucky that I got to start off at a place earlier in my career when, I mean, you know, that there was, it was a different time. I mean, you come in, your first video would be like $200,000 back in the day. And now it's like, you're lucky if you get a video. So anyways, the payout is rough. And so it's almost like I was thinking, you know, I start my own label, my own catalog. If I, you know, get some syncs on these records, now I own these records. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, so I want to learn a little more of the entrepreneurial part of the music industry in 2022 as well. So the creative aspect, just wanting to learn and kind of focus on kind of what's next for the music industry and what it takes to like get music out there. All of that interests me, and kind of I was able to kind of combine it all together. I'm still working to get records cut on big labels and Universal and the Sony and the Warner system and everything. But, you know, realistically, these songs, unless they're massive hits, there's just not a big payout on the back end. I mean, there's this meme going around right now. 100 million streams on a 3-way split is like $7,000 for everybody. Jesus. On 100 million streams. Not the most, but, you know, I can just speak from experience. I made more money, 300,000 radio streams of Despacito, than I did off the 1.3 billion streams on Spotify and
Jesus,
and all the other streaming stuff. I mean,
so right now, Marty, then as we're starting to wrap up, like where would you send people for your music? Right. Like where's the best place to find it?
No, because I'm happy. Okay. I mean, in general, I love making music, and if I was just doing it for money, I would have done something else with my life. So it's just,
of course.
Just seeing, you know, in facts, you know.
Yeah, obviously. Of course, factually.
Marty, I'm not going to tell you your business, but I got a really good idea. What you ought to do is just like name drop restaurants. Like if you have a song that just like says like, "Hey man, I like going to Applebee's," and then just like name some menu items at Applebee's, they'll put that shit in the commercial, man.
That's actually, you know, make the Target song. I actually made a CVS song. You can see it on my my Snapchat. CVS! CVS! They have everything you can think of. CVS! CVS!
Ooh, that's not bad.
Yes.
CVS.
No. But yeah, I do think there's something to that because I mean, I'm just waiting for Nabisco to drop a boy band or something. I mean, that's a write-off for them, you know?
Yeah, we had, like, corporate Nabisco actually put it together, like, in sync.
The hot new R&B singer presented by Visa. Why not?
That goes back to, Mike, do you recall when Hamburger Helper, the Mitten, put out an entire rap album?
That Hamburger Helper mixtape was fire, yo. Travis.
What about California Raisins? Come on.
I love the California Raisins when I was a kid.
I'm not shitting you guys. The Hamburger Helper mixtape was good. Like I listened to it Hamburger not Helper ironically.
I like Hamburger Helper, period. Hey, next time I come on, we could just talk about Hamburger Helper and 80s and 90s references.
I love it.
Yeah, book it. We're in.
That's our niche right there.
You're right up my alley there.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. I'll be you guys. We can come back again. I kind of just, Sometimes I yap too much. I don't even know what I was saying half of the time.
Hey, this is an audio medium, so yapping is the best thing possible that's what you're supposed to do. Have you do.
Okay. I'll be more controversial next time.
Perfect. Go. Oh, good. That's right there up
we
our go. Alley.
Yeah, yeah. And then we can clip it, Travis, and we can say, guys, you won't believe what Marty said.
Yeah, what he said.
So where can people find you online there, Marty?
All right. So, I mean, anything Scapegoat Wax, at Scapegoat Wax, Instagram, Scapegoat Wax, TikTok, Scapegoat Wax, Twitter. And then if you just want to see me, a lot of my songwriting stuff, Martell James, Marty James, Martell James. So M-A-R-T-E-L-J-A-M-E-S. That's basically it. Marty James on Twitter. Just search Marty James or Scapegoat Wax. You'll run into me on Spotify, Scapegoat Wax. Yeah, follow us on there. I'm just going to keep dropping stuff and, you know, man, hopefully maybe this summer do some shows, which would be dope, you know, go out with a band. That's the only way I really want to do shows. And, yeah, man, I'm just excited to be, you know, the creative space. I just like, you know, having to kind of have written in boxes a little bit, you know, for different projects at times. It feels nice to just combine genres and just genre bend, and I've always been about that, and now I think music is just more than ever sort of open to that, so it's go time.
Perfect.
We look awesome. Forward. I'll come back anytime, let me know what's up.
We look forward to it.
Thanks, Marty. Appreciate it.
Atomic Slam, this one's out, the next one's February 11th, and the next one I think is March 13th, so let's go.
Perfect. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys, appreciate you. Much love.
Thanks, take care.
Right on.
Marty's a good guy.
Great Marty's a good guy.
Good guy.
And yes, Marty.
You know, his wallet
we
in his
think,
pocket.
We think he liked you.
You think he liked me?
Yeah.
That's good.
It's funny, you know, when somebody's been in the industry for so long and, you know, they're an artist and then they kind of start working with other artists and then you can kind of see them come back to create their own art with all of the influences they have. It's always nice to hear somebody so passionate about the work that they have in front of them. You know, like that makes me jealous.
If I was songwriting Travis and making my own music, I wouldn't give anybody my good ideas. I'd keep them.
No, you'd give them the cast off.
Yeah, I'd keep them. Like yeah, somebody says, Enrique hey, Iglesias calls. He's like, hey, Marty, I want to do songs with you. I'd be like, yeah, great. I'll give you the bullshit I don't want.
Oh, Jules got her fourth comeback album coming out. Yeah, I'll work on that, but it's going to be snippets of shit I threw in the trash.
You know what I really got out of that interview, Mike?
What's that?
Is you need to make us a green room.
A green room?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Green screen.
Green screen?
Yeah.
Why?
So we can make fun videos.
Fun videos?
Yeah. So drunk can be Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like because you saw because I was talking about his music video.
Yeah.
Where his face is on other people's face.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's just like a green screen. Like they made his face other people's face.
Green screen.
Oh,
he said it was just a green screen.
Oh,
but then the guy he worked with was smart enough to know how to put it on Harrison
that's
Ford's
what we,
body.
That's what we need is that guy. I have a green screen. I don't know what to do with it.
Phil, you got to film somebody in front of it.
We're not video guys.
You are not yet a video guy, but
audio is our darling, Travis.
Yeah, but audio. What is audio slash AV audio video?
We've romanced the
audio.
We only
plug in the red cord, not the yellow cord.
Yeah. We have chosen our dance partner, and we will dance with her until the night is over.
You're trying to say you only have a face for radio?
For sure.
We're going to give you such good oral.
Drunk,
no
you gotta,
visual.
I do.
You got a pick of the week, Drunks?
Pick of the week. So for the last 2 weeks, we were in Australia. We're going to move a couple thousand miles to the north to Beijing, where the Winter Olympics will start Friday the 4th and go through the 20th. My favorite winter events include hockey, skeleton, and ski jumping.
I don't give a shit about the Olympics this year. I don't even think they should go.
Why? Because in case they get COVID, they ain't going to die. They'll be fine.
drunk. That's misinformation. Guys, a disclaimer. Don't kick us off YouTube. You might die.
Fuck you, Kanye. COVID's a hoax.
Mike, pick of the week.
Drunk pick of the week is, you know, the Scapegoat Wax songs are actually really good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bitch out this week, Travis. Scapegoat Wax, the new songs that he's put up on Spotify. Listen to them. They're good. Perfect. I've listened to them a couple of times, like the Hamburger Helper mixtape. I think they're fire, yo. Travis, pick of the week?
New season of Ozark.
Nice.
I
can't go wrong.
Travis, are you rooting for them? They're kind of garbage. I kind of don't want things to end good for them.
They have become so unlikable.
I mean, especially the wife. She's terrible.
She kind of started out terrible. She was fucking around on Marty in the beginning and whatever. But then she was kind of like you feel bad for her because she's put in this situation. Yeah, she's awful.
She sucks.
They still somehow are able to make their youngest kid, the boy, even like he's like trying to get away from them and all their shit. He sucks just as bad.
I don't like his face, Travis. And
I don't like his face or his attitude or his whiny, bitchy shit. You know, the only person that I hope comes away in this show scot free and is pans out with like something lucrative. Ruthie. Ruthie is the only person in that show.
I just wish she'd get on a boat and leave, Travis. Just get on a boat and leave. What are you doing?
Just get on a fucking... Take some of the money that you probably have access to. Get the fuck out of there.
She probably won't, though.
No.
But they're all kind of terrible. I mean, like, Marty, he's less of a piece of shit than the rest of them.
Yeah.
But he's still kind of a piece of shit, Travis.
Yeah, this is because you've known him from the beginning and, you know, he was always caught up in this situation that he was in over his head. That's the only reason he's less of a piece of shit. But yeah, he's terrible. I mean, they're all terrible.
He's the reason they're in the predicament they're in, so.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of his fault. But like,
Yeah, 100%.
Well, yeah, I mean, I haven't watched too much of the Ozark, but I mean, I've seen a couple episodes and I've seen pictures of that Ruth gal. Man, on that show, she really does look like a meth head, and that's not at all what she looks like in real life, huh?
No, nope.
Well,
she does a pretty good job.
Guys, we did it.
She does.
Right? We did it, Drunk.
I think so.
We did it.
Happy February.
February.
Happy, African American month. What's it called? African
Studies Black History Month.
Black History Month.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
Black History Month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
pretty happy good. Shortest month of the year.
Hire a black coach.
Hope you're ready for Snowmageddon. You ready for Snowmageddon?
Oh, I'm ready, Drunk. Put my salt down.
I'm Bill Danner.
Isn't there a white?
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. Please subscribe and leave positive reviews on your preferred podcast player. Share the episode on social media or with one of your in-real-life friends. For links to our ever-expanding universe, including our Discord, our Twitch, and YouTube channels, and our library of back episodes, visit us at WFODshow.com. Thanks to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio for the music used in this podcast. Thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Amanda, Valerie, Brian, and Liquid. Visit patreon.com/WFODix to help support the show. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-4263. Email us Mike or Travis at WFODix.com or reach out on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. We'll see you next week. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yo, Shakes, what's up?
Fender Bender.
Thunderbolt.
It's over.
Well, bye.